time, I'm not going to introduce Sam.
Thank you. Thank you, George. I'll introduce myself. I'm Sam Berlosky. I realized I've been in the audio business of some type for sort of embarrassing 42 years. And I am now chair of the National Recording Preservation Board, and I say that as a preface to tell you that nothing I am going to say today reflects the opinions of the Library of Congress or the National Recording Preservation Board as a whole. I'm here just to talk about, as you see in your program, the National Recording Preservation Program or plan and ARSC. And, you know, for my penchant for alliteration, obstacles and opportunities. So this is really a continuation of what you've heard from the technical committee, is to think about how ARSC as an organization of individuals and institutions together and apart might work with this plan, with the potential funders of the recommendations of the plan, to meet ARSC's needs, to have ARSC expertise and ARSC involvement in meeting national preservation needs. I was asked the other day about how the plan might relate to collectors, private collectors. Does it only have to do with institutions? I don't think it does. I think there are a lot of recommendations here that would help individuals who collect, serious collectors. But I mean, it's up to us as an organization to make sure that happens, because the recommendations are there, and to think about how we can become involved, how to prioritize these in terms of our own needs. I'm not the best coach and, you know, incentive. I didn't take Dale Carnegie. I can't tell you to do it for the Nipper or something like that. But sorry. But I do want to just tell you a few things about what's going on. To follow up on what Brenda says, and I'm going to be quick, I'm going to try to stay within my 20 minutes, because what I want to do is plant some seeds of things to think about with ARSC and this plan, and then we'll have a conversation this afternoon. And even that is a real preface for us to think about it over the year and think about what might happen. But just to let you know, as Brenda mentioned, a lot of ARSC members had input into this plan. They were members of the task forces, there were six task forces, and there's probably an ARSC member or two on each one, I'm sure. In the meantime, ARSC is also well represented on the National Recording Preservation Board. Jim Farrington, who represents Music Library Association on it, is on the board. I'm on the board. David Soybert's on the board. Bill Klinger's on the board. Brenda's on the board. Go on and on. So we've been very involved, as you said. Some of the board members have sort of written me, and I've asked for recommendations on what they think is most important, and one of the most important things to accomplish in this plan. What should we be doing first? Well, what comes to the top, Bill Klinger mentioned funding. Funding's tough, but we have to think creatively about it, and I think ARSC has some opportunities. Gerald Seligman's foundation is going to help the preservation nationally, but the National Recording Preservation Foundation is not going to solve everyone's needs. But I want to say this right off, because this is a seed I want to plant in you as soon as possible. And that is, one thing that this plan has done is it's called the attention of preservation problems and recommendations, proactive recommendations, to funding organizations. We have heard from NEH, they want a proposal from someone that relates to this plan. You know, you have a funding agency asking, begging to get a proposal to them that might meet national needs or, you know, broad needs, not necessarily just one institution's cylinders or lacquer discs, but they're asking for that. And unfortunately, the deadline for preservation grants is in July, but I really, if any of you have grant writers around, there's some real opportunities now. I really feel the tide is with us. I'm absolutely convinced of this. I believe very strongly, I know this for a fact, that the Mellon Foundation, which is one of the major funders of sound archive activities, they have done the Hidden Collections, Initiative, which has funded the Kansas City, UMO Kansas City Archive that you saw yesterday, some of their cataloging. They're funding us at the University of California, Santa Barbara on Ethnic 78s. They've done a lot of audio cataloging grants. But Mellon is interested in this plan and is interested in proposals to how they can help meet the needs of this plan. Mellon has more money than NEH right now, and they're committed. They actually have musicologists on the staff of the Mellon Foundation. So this is something for ours to think about, and it could be a lot of you. Now, what I want to do is, instead of just sit here and go through this, because I really said I want to not only stay within the time, but also just give you food for thought for us to talk about later, just talk a little bit about what's been going on so far. I think you know that the Library of Congress has asked the technical committee of ours to do a set of videos, sort of a prototype of videos of legacy recording engineers who deal with legacy equipment, legacy technique, media, and to do, I think, two things. One is to sort of get these techniques as sort of a video oral history, and also to have some an instructional component too. And they're working on that now. At the same time, there's real impetus in, as you may not know, let's see, 7 or 8 years ago, ARSC had a committee that put together a handbook for, an outline for a handbook for audio archives, ones that aren't specialists, ones that don't have an audio specialist on staff, ones that don't do in-house reformatting. We thought a handbook was needed, and we used the model as the one for film that's been put out by the National Film Preservation Foundation, and you can find it on their website and download it as a PDF. That was sort of our model 8 years ago. The Education and Training Committee has taken this up and looked at that outline and sort of has begun to update it for things that weren't thought about a lot 7 or 8 years ago, such as born digital audio, and I think there's impetus from the Library of Congress to help fund at least the beginning of that, and I know the Council on Library and Information Resources wants to publish this at no cost to ARSC, and will share the profits with ARSC if ARSC wants to take that direction, but they would do printing and distribution. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but that's up to the E&T committee. There's just a lot of other things going on. You know about the ARSC technical committee subcommittee on cylinders and Bill Klinger and the cylinder box, which is an extraordinary thing, and it's almost completed and hopefully will be available to other archives and collectors very soon. This has been going on some time, and it's a wonderful accomplishment. This sort of predated the plan and the study and the plan, because it was like, well, you don't need a study to know that our cylinders need better care. Let's just start that right now, and the library funded that. And of course, the Copyright Committee has been, working from advocacy and but also studies. The as part of the plan or the study itself, as you may recall, the Library of Congress commissioned Tim Brooks and Steve Simoleon to do a study of out of print recordings. What is in print of historical recordings made prior to 1965? The results of that study led to Sony Music going to the Library of Congress coming to the Library of Congress with a license for the National Jukebox. So these things have already had an impact, and these are by ARSC members. Library of Congress has limited funds, and we know the foundation will always, everyone's going to have limited funds, but there is money out there, and I just hope you all will think about it and how we might do. What I want to do as fast as I can is, Bob Hybert talked about opening up the hymnal, and if you could bring up my computer, I actually have the cliff notes for the hymnal here. Do you need me to do something?
We got to slide the window.
Sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
So I have the cliff notes for the hymnal here, and what it is an outline of every recommendation in the plan. The plan has supposedly 32 recommendations, but that's a sham, because each recommendation has about 3 or 4 under it. So I think there's more like or 2 or 3. There's as many as 60. Did I screw that up?
No. If I close it, can you get back to it?
If you close it?
Yeah, because I may need to.
Tell me. It's a Word document, and if you can't,
I'll try something here.
Yeah, that's the item.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've just taken our sort of cliff notes that we have, and on the left are all the recommendations, and you see some of the sub-recommendations. And I really just wanted to point out in the comments section, Bill Klinger, and with David's help and other members of ARSC, submitted a document to the Library of Congress of how ARSC could help implement the plan. And it wasn't a document that says ARSC is going to adopt all these, but you heard from Brenda, it's really interesting. MLA has adopted certain things, and ARSC has already adopted things in terms of the handbook and some copyright things. So I just wanted to point these out real fast, recorded sound media facilities. And all I can do is just go through these really fast, because I just want you to see them. And I want you, please, to just remember, as you look at a page like this, that just because they weren't in the ARSC first submission of what ARSC might work on the plan, ARSC is just the natural organization for this. And this is where I am sort of doing my Dale Carnegie, I'm afraid. There's no question, one of the more successful professional organizations for audiovisual preservation is AMIA, the Moving Image Association, and that was an outgrowth of the Motion Picture Preservation Plan. It didn't exist before that plan, and they rose to the occasion, and they are national leaders in it. We already are national leaders, too, but I just think there are more opportunities. So as I look at things like this, establish consortial digital repositories and agreements and between institutions to develop models. Well, ARSC can do that. It's probably already done it. Strategies for creation of local regional digital repositories. These are things in which no one person is going to come up with a digital storage solution immediately, but they're opportunities. I'll give you an example. If you think about yesterday, if it was yesterday or the day before, it's melding, Chris Lesinick and John Spencer were talking about different ways to back up your digital media. And one of them was like a mediated iCloud. In other words, not just a cloud where you throw things up and you just cross your fingers that Google and Amazon are going to be in business and going to take care of your stuff, but some sort of mediated one where you have digital files and they're in a place that does, the sum checking, does all the kinds of sort of preservation things to assure that the files have integrity and get migrated. That doesn't exist for small institutions now. Really, is this something that ARSC could take on? Is this something, there is a big nonprofit that's trying to get started, the Audiovisual Archive Network under Linda Tadich. Is this something that ARSC might adopt and consortially put something together with a partner? The foundation might do it. It might be even a way for ARSC to get a little bit of income. But George has told me often that many of his clients pay him a lot of money, they have a lot of stuff, and they get their product on CDRs. Is that still correct? Or hard disks that are going to sit on a shelf. And it's just like, it's a time bomb. There are opportunities for ARSC there. I'll give you another thing that's in the plan, and that is there was a Colorado preservation initiative many years ago. I don't know whether you read about it, you remember this, where the state sort of got together all the archives that had things like cassettes. And instead of having each little archive that had 10 or 20 or 30 cassettes, the state formed an initiative to get them all together into one aggregate and then went to vendors and said, we have 5,000 cassettes to preserve. And obviously, they probably all had the same metadata because the consortium did something to normalize the data, and it went to a vendor with 5,000, and no doubt that was a lot less expensive than these guys going to vendors with 100 or 50 or 15. Something that ARSC might put together, some committee that does that, and there might even be some money in for ARSC. I'm not suggesting, I just want to just go through those things. So just look at these. I'm happy to share this outline with anyone. If you want to write me, I'll send it to you in case I know you want to read all the prose, but when you want to review it and daily, this is a nice outline of it. ARSC Education Training Committee with workshops. The workshops are enormously successful, and they've gone on now for 10 years. I don't know whether this is big enough for you to see, but as I said, I'm happy to send it to anyone. I just want to plant these seeds. These are the things that Bill and David and committees of ours submitted that said they might want involvement with. And I just think that, this is it. The tide is with us. And I also think there's money. We just have to think creatively about what you really want, what will serve our constituency, what will help nationally. I'm just going to go through these. I don't know what time. What time is it, George? It's 5 of. Well, I might have some time. I don't want to go over. I just want to, because I'm really here just to throw this out. I'm happy to talk a little bit about other things that ARSC has done already. I haven't done, one is Gerald has done this extraordinary job. Gerald and Pat and John Simpson, the head of the board of directors of the National Audio Preservation Foundation. But Al Schlockmeyer is way ahead of him in the ARSC and the ARSC preservation grants. We've been giving out grants. ARSC does an extraordinary thing with the grant program, and that is ARSC charges no overhead. Every dollar, this is my understanding, every dollar contributed to the ARSC grant program goes out to grants. There's no overhead. It's an amazing thing that ARSC is doing. No one else does this in the country that I can imagine doesn't have any overhead. On the other hand, Gerald's foundation can potentially double any contribution, because in the legislation that created Gerald's foundation, Congress is supposed to match the donations. Is there something that might be done there? Is there some sort of partnership between ARSC Grant Committee and the National Recording Preservation Foundation where that money, Al's contributions, the individual contributions of others who have contributed to this fund, might be doubled through the foundation? There's just enormous number of things to think about and potential. I'm just going through these just to show you where ARSC sort of planted a flag. And I know you all have read the study and the plan many times, so all I really have to say is 2.6, and you know what I'm talking about. You don't really need this. ARSC Technical Committee has expressed interest but will require partners. That's part of this. One of the big parts of this plan, I think one of the most important parts of this plan, is the advocacy of public-private partnerships in the National Recording Preservation Plan. It's something that isn't happening a lot in audio with the big guys. The little guys have been amazing, and not to call David Giovannone or Tom Hawthorne a little guy, but David Giovannone has contributed 1,000 sides to the National Jukebox from his personal collection that are going to go on the National Jukebox of early Victor recordings. And from his personal collection, which is bigger than any institutions I know, and here they're going to be accessible to everyone. That's a public-private partnership through David's generosity and Gene's coordination of it. And Tom Hawthorne on the other coast has been doing this. We're digitizing for the Jukebox at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and Jerry McBride's sending some sides down there. So there's more partnerships, but this public-private thing is very important. And I think one of the things to think about is how we can have more dialogues with intellectual property holders and record companies. They're not our enemies, and we're not their enemies, and as I said earlier, we need to think about this. One of the things that we thought about in working on the plan was the fact that the big companies aren't represented here. They do go to EMEA. They're not here. And what is it? So Pat came, I think, with the notion of a national leadership committee, which we really hope that vice presidents or presidents of this company will sit down with preservation advocates and have a meeting at high level. When that happens, ARSC will be represented. That's been talked about from the very beginning, that there will be an ARSC representative at that table with whatever record company CEOs. I mean, there might be just one record company left by that time, and it'll be in Japan or France, but we'll get them. Nothing on this page, and yet, you know, federal protection. Copyright's already done it. That's why Bill and David didn't need to plant a flag there. Section 108, we're working on that. Steve Simoleon's worked on a label ownership database, and we've talked about building that with Sound Exchange, and that's something where ARSC might do that, and it actually helps companies to have a label ownership database, because if you know who the owners are, there's less than an excuse, oh, I thought it was an orphan. You know, you can find out who owns this record company, the audio house. Who owns the rights to the audio house when I want to put out a best of, you know, high school bands CD? Might interesting stuff. Anyway, this is here. As I said, I'm happy to send this to anyone, and I just wanted you to see some of the things. In other cases, there are things like Chris Sterling, who's a member at large, a great radio historian, is interested in things. We're very concerned about radio being lost, particularly local radio. That's a real concern that came up in the plan, and it's something that Pat's been thinking about a lot, I know. Anyway, I wanted you to see that, and I wanted just to give you things. One more thing I wanted to say, and this is sort of I don't speak for the library. I was a consultant to the National Recording Preservation Board. I'm not now, so I can speak freer. One thing is to thinking about, one of the great things about this plan is sort of a big preservation resource website. And I've been in library conversations about how can this be hosted. And we're a little worried. Speak out of school and say a little worried about the Library of Congress hosting it itself, because the library has a big infrastructure of the web, and it's somewhat rigid in terms of what the format is and whether people can contribute to it in terms of wiki things. They don't really exist on that website. And I personally hope that ARSC would adapt that. ARSC would take over the NRPB preservation resource website. I'm speaking for myself, not for the Library of Congress, but I have talked to Kim and talked, anyway, there's a list of what it might include. The library might pay for the hosting costs. The library would contribute content. It's not like ARSC would have to do all the content, but there is pieces throughout the plan that you'll see, even in this outline, and I won't go and find this because the time is out, but maybe I can do it while I talk, about what components of this plan are on a website. I'd love to see ARSC and the NRPB collaborate on a national preservation resource website. This is the first part of it down here. But it's much more than those things. Education page, recording history page, collection management page, and as you all know, of course, it includes 3.1 and 3.2 and 2.1, don't need to say public access. These are very important things. So look at the plan, you can look at this and think about it, and I hope the ARSC board will think about this website and things like that. So I'm gonna leave you with that. We're gonna talk later this afternoon just to get your ideas after having lunch and a few drinks about where you think you want to go with your organization, but I just wanted to throw this out that it is a time of opportunities and it's not obstacles. I mean, the obstacles are the fact that none of us have any time, but I think there are real opportunities here. Thanks. I think it's you all that deserve a hand. This, Brenda would tell you, this thing wouldn't be without you. Even Brenda acknowledged Alan Gevinson is writing a lot of the plan, and he is Mr. Nancy Seeger. So we even have ARSC involvement throughout the whole thing. It's Nancy's husband. Okay, please.
Okay, a couple quick announcements before you go off to the break. The happy hour tonight will be from 6 to 7. Every year, no matter how much I try to spread the message, I get complaints. Why did the bar close? The bar does not close. It will be open. Beer and wine will be hosted from 6 to 7. Get your glass of wine before you go into the banquet. The bar will be moved into the banquet room, but then it will be no longer a hosted bar. Please take your banquet tickets. That should be in your badge. Take them to the banquet. Put them in front of your, put them on the table in front of you so the servers know what entree you have ordered. And even more important, the silent auction closes at 11:30. Please go forth and bid now. We don't want any leftover books to deal with without a bid. So bid often between now and 11:30, and then please pay between now and 4 o'clock. Some of us will be at the table sorting books, and you can come and collect your loot, pay with cash or check. So please, go forth and bid.